Praise the Lord. Everybody got everything they need to give unto the Lord? All righty, if you gentlemen will come forward with your wheelbarrows. You like that? Next time you bring a wheelbarrow by faith, okay? Praise the Lord. Now there's a whole lot more chairs full this Sunday than last. But not near as many as next. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give. But most of all, we thank you for the opportunity and to invoke your word into our lives. That we can literally invoke the blessings of the Lord by what little we drop in the offering plate. We thank you for the provision. We thank you for the opportunity. Now we thank you in advance that your word is true and we're blessed beyond anything that we've ever thought or asked as we bless you according to your will. The offering, the gift, and the giver is blessed today. For that we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Sounds good to me. The piano is a little out of tune. She didn't make it that way. After church, right after church, every guy in the world that thinks they've got a muscle, we want to lift this thing up on the stage. If you go out the back door, I'll know you're a little girl because you don't think you got a muscle. We need to lift this thing, and it's going to take all of us to get it up on the stage because we've got a piano tuner coming. Then I'm going to threaten the school within an inch of their life. They touch it again, they die. Okay? Well, it's going to cost them. We're going to put it that way. I don't know how they got it down, but we're going to get it up, and it's going to stay there this time. All you men said amen, right? Okay. Won't take but a minute. It'll be easy if all of us pitch in. Hallelujah. I want to, something that God just put in my heart about, the church is going to grow like you've never seen before. Come on, y'all just agree with me because I'm going to have it that way whether you agree with me or not. So you need to agree with it so it happens faster. If you agree with that, then for a season, it's going to take something out of you. We're going to need more help and more help until we don't need any help. That's the formula. We're going to need more and more help until we don't need any help. Until everybody's just dying to do it without sacrificing the praise of work. Sacrifice of work. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to keep needing more chairs. The other thing God's going to start touching the hardest is in your pocketbook. Because you say you want growth, and what God's going to do is say, let's see how bad you want it. We're going to buy some more chairs. We're going to buy a sound system. We've got to buy things. Y'all know that? Well, praise the Lord. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about buying something. Come on. I'm excited more about God providing for that, but I'm really excited about having to buy something. I'm doing my part. We're already looking at sound systems and different microphones and all kinds of things. We know where to get the chairs. We don't have to look for that. But we are going to need your help. Want to be part of something that's growing?
Yes.
Well, you got to make it happen. You got to pray it happen. You got to pray it into being. You got to faith it into being, and you got to work it into being. Okay, yeah, it's time for the children to go. Once again, children, be blessed. Okay, last Sunday, we remember we started the Ten Commandments. I'm going to try to finish it this week, but we're sure getting a late start. It's okay. It'll be a miracle if I covered two last week and I get eight done today. Or it'll be, we'll go straight from here to Renee's house. Last week we covered, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." Now let me warn you about the Ten Commandments. There's been a precedent set. Let's pray. Father, this is your word, your time. You rule. You reign. It's not about my clock. It's not about my preparation. It's about by your Spirit, saith the Lord. We need to be touched by you and not by anything that we do. We want hearts touched to be to come, and only by your Spirit can this happen. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Ten Commandments have been greatly prostituted. They've been prostituted with heavy hands, with controlling spirits. I feel like even as of last Sunday, that's happened here just a little bit, and I do not and will not allow that. These are not laws that become heavy burdens. If that happens, that is satanic. It is not God. You don't have to look over your shoulder worrying constantly if you're breaking a commandment. Please listen to me in this. This is not why we're talking about the Ten Commandments. So that I can clean you guys up. That's not what this is about. This is God's Word. Only by the Holy Spirit will you hear and respond, not by anything I say. And please don't ever respond to anything I say. It's not important what I say. It's important what God says. And He's going to not only tell you what the Ten Commandments mean, He's going to tell you how to use them. All I'm going to do is open them up and try to tell you a little bit of what the words mean. Okay? So why don't you allow God to ride in on this jackass this morning and we'll learn something. Amen? All right. Let me skip that. Here's the promise. I'm not going to read this like I did last Sunday. The promise says this, that if you will observe them in Deuteronomy 4, it says if you'll observe them, teach them, write them on the doorpost of your hearts, live them, breathe them, that not only you will have wisdom, the nations will call you wise. The nations will begin to say, "Can I serve your God? You have such a wise God with such righteous judgments. Righteous judgments flow from your life and from your mouth. I want to know your God." Remember, I told you that these Ten Commandments were written to establish and reestablish and maintain a relationship with God. That's what they were given for. And if they'll work with you and I, they'll work with somebody that's seeking a relationship. Okay. The nations will call you blessed. That's what it's saying. Deuteronomy 6 says that He requires you to teach them to your children and to your children's children. And the only way you can do that is to live them. Just live them. Don't work at it. Just do it. Deuteronomy 32 says you must set your hearts to observe. Matthew 5, Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy them. I came to fulfill them," or "fill you full of them," to explain them, to explain them in my walk, Jesus said, in my talk, in my parables, everything that He said and did explained to us the living out of the Ten Commandments. Y'all can agree with that. It's amazing that the first two nearly sound repetitious. They said, "I don't want you to put anything in front of me," God said. "I don't want you to put your dress. I don't want you to put your..." This is not before God. Somebody asked me about that last week. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing how people have been brainwashed to look at signs and symbols instead of your life. But I can walk into a hospital with this on and they nearly go like this. And it says right or wrong. I got a driver's license. I think it's highly illegal, but I got it. And when I flash it, they think it's right. What can I tell you? Sometimes we live in the world, but we're not of the world, right? Okay. Let's get to it. Number three. Exodus 20, verse 7. King James, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." The church has not stood very strong in this commandment. For some reason, they think this one probably doesn't carry much weight. It's all right to slip once in a while, right? Well, it says, "You'll not be held guiltless." The word "take the name of the Lord in vain," "take," is do not lift it up. Do not advance. Do not rise it up. Do not carry it. Here's a good one for you. Do not waste it. I will submit to you that people that pray using the word Father and Jesus every 5 seconds is vain repetition and is breaking this commandment. The church leads the way in sin. The world does not. The church teaches the world how to sin because they don't take heed to God's word. How would you like it? Bill, how would you like it if I proceeded to start to talk to you and about every fourth word I called your name out? Bill, I need to talk to you, Bill. Bacchus, I need to talk to you just for a minute, Bill. About Bill, Bacchus, back. And you're finally going to look at me and say, "But you cut it out and just say what you got to say." That's right. How much more so God? Do not take it. Do not hold it up. Do not waste it. Do not cast it around like it's some tool that's been given you. The name of Jesus, the name of your Father, the name of God is not a tool for you so that you can whack people over the head or make things happen. Every time it comes out of our mouth, it should be a form of honor. Do not extol it. Can you imagine? Do not extol that name. Did you know that the name of Jesus has become more important than Jesus Himself? Now come on, you just think about this. We'll just whip it out like a sword. But we never invite His presence. We say in Jesus' name, and yet we never realize that we're saying He has given me His power of attorney and His authority. And what I do now is to exalt Him. Instead, we want to whip it out and whip somebody with it. Instead of our whole goal is to bring Him honor. Bring Him honor. Do not destroy it. Let me get to it. You don't use the name of the Lord our God in any way that is not profitable to the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, you know what you just did. You didn't call on His name. You just used it in vain. Lord, have mercy. Oh, my God. Are you exalting Him? Are you throwing His seed out on the ground? Read in the Bible what happens when the seed goes on the ground and see how God likes it. See what happens. Vain. Don't take it. Don't use it in vain. The word vain means desolate, dry. Never, ever, ever get comfortable with saying the name of Jesus. Now that may sound a little strange with you, but never get comfortable using the name of God. Never. Every time that word comes out of your mouth, it needs to touch you because it's not a word. It's a person. It's your Lord. It's the one that loves you more than His life itself. Don't use it as a desolate thing, as an evil thing, as a destructive thing, as a useless thing. Empty, worthless. Let me tell you, God gave His name to you for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that's to build the kingdom of God. Not to show you who you are, not to show somebody else who you are, not to strut around like a little tag here that says, "Jesus is Lord." I got one on my other coat. That's not a badge. That's the truth. That's the truth. And if it's not the truth, you're using the name of the Lord in vain. What's the name? What's His name? Can anybody tell me what the Lord's name is? That's right. Which one? Which one? There are many. There are many. Why are there many? I'll tell you why. Because if you were going to call me by my personality, by my character, by my history, by my future, you would have a lot of different names for me. God's name is not His name like you and I think. Because nobody gave God His name. That was a description. We forget that the word God means everything to us. It is not a title. It means everything. People used to in the Bible wouldn't even say that name. It was so important. They wouldn't even say it. They revered it so much. And now we put it before every four-letter word we can think of. And we'll sit in the same room while somebody else does it. And we don't get insulted. Somebody calls my wife or my mom and dad a name, I can get insulted. But they can call my God a name all the day long, and we don't get insulted. What's wrong with us? We forgot the formula. Honor brings honor. You honor the name of your God, and it'll bring you honor. You desecrate it, and you'll be stuff that we walk on. You walk on His name, we'll walk on you. That's the way it is. I hate to be rude. His name is His position. That's the very first definition. His name is His position. What does the word Jesus mean, by the way? It means a lot of things, but just to the child. In the Christmas story, it means Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean?
God with us.
God with us. God with us. Now, if we can just figure out what the word God means, we'll know what we're saying. It's a position. It's a mark. How many of you have ever been marked by your name? I'm not marked by my name, and you aren't either, but God is. Because it's a description of Him. If you use it lowly, if you use it worthlessly, it marks Him as a worthless God. If you use it flippantly, it marks Him as just another. It's a friend of mine. It shows honor. It's a name. It's not a name of honor. It's honor. It's not a name of authority. It is authority. Hard for us to understand. It isn't a name of character. It is His character. The word God, the word Jesus, the word Lord, the word Emmanuel, and all the other ones that you could mention to me, they are His character. That's who He is. That's not His name. It's who He is. Don't waste that. It's a report. Did you know that the name of the Lord is a report? And you and I, the minute we hear the name of our God, our Lord, our Savior, it should bring pictures of past, present, and future reports. That's part of it, but that's not even a tip of the iceberg of what we should think of. We should think of everything that He's ever done for us and everything we're believing Him for to do. When you use it in vain, it gives you position instead of Him. Any time that you use the name of my God to promote your position instead of Him, you have just used it in vain. What does guiltless mean? He will not hold him guiltless. It means clean, blameless, cleansed, free, most important to you and I, unpunished. So if we decide to use the name of our Lord and God in vain, flip it around like nothing, you have not considered the cost. Because the Bible promises you that it will cost you. It comes with a price. You'll not be held guiltless. Are we clear about that? Can we move on? The next one, which is what? Number four. I'm going to read the entire part, and then I'm going to tear apart the individual verses. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the guest that's in your house. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath, and hallowed it. And hallowed it. All right, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What is remember? Mark it. Recognize it. Recognize it. How many of you have your calendar marked that Sunday is the most important day of the week? How many of you start working for Sunday tomorrow? This is the picture that God's going to put here in front of you. That you begin to work for Sunday tomorrow. That not one thing can be any more important than Sunday. Well, that's our calendar. I'm not going to get technical here. It's the Sabbath day. We recognize, I don't think God cares if it's the 6th or the 7th, just as long as we appoint a day that's special unto Him. If He wants to correct that, I'm open. How about you? Otherwise, we're going to do it like I know to do it right now. Remember it. Mark it. Recognize it. Be mindful of it. Record it. Remind yourself. Make a memorial. Make it the most noteworthy day. Make it the most noteworthy day of the week. Do something that you wouldn't do any other day of the week. Set it apart. I would tell you some other definitions in here, but we'll put it off. Sabbath. What is the Sabbath day? I found it very interesting when I looked this up. Number one word is intermission. Number two is Day of Atonement. I've never heard of the Sabbath referred to as the Day of Atonement before. The Day of Atonement. What does it mean, the Day of Atonement? What does that mean? One month? No, that's okay. What is to atone? Make right. That's just as simple as you can get it. That is the day you make it right. If you can't look at the Sabbath any other way, look at it like that. This is the day I make it right. It's a repose. It means desist from exertion. That's not my definition. That's the Strong's. Desist from exertion. Cease. Here's another one. Celebrate. It's a day of celebration. Sounds like a good day to me. You know how you keep your romance up from God? You at least date Him one day a week. At least once a week. At least you dress up and get good spoofoo on one day a week. You at least go to where He's at least one day a week, and you might keep your marriage with Him. And if you can't even do that, don't expect to be married long. All right? Keep it holy. Now, we may not like this. I may not even like it, but I'm going to tell you what it says. It says, keep it clean. Keep it pure. Keep it consecrated. Don't come to church here this morning and go out on a drinking party binge tonight. The Sabbath is not over. Now, I'm not trying to make a law out of this. Please. I'm trying to give you a formula for what God says will make you succeed. Set it apart. Let it be separated from any other day. You know what most people think the Sabbath day is? The last day of the work week. And our calendar doesn't even show you that. It shows you that it's the first, the number one, the primo day. Even our calendars show you that. Sunday is not a day where you can have a two-day weekend. You want a two-day special weekend, you take Friday and Saturday and give God His Sunday. One thing I never can figure out is why people think that it's all right to take off work and Sunday. But they won't. Most of the time they'll never touch their work, but they'll take off the Sabbath day. Oh, I don't mean any difference. It's nothing. You know what I'll know you think the Sabbath day is real? When you'll take off work before you'll take off the Sabbath day. You'll give up a few bucks before you'll give up that time with God. Then I'll know you know the Sabbath day is holy. You've set it apart. It's separated, honored, dedicated, and devoted. He means it's pure, dedicated, and devoted. Now listen, some people will say He devoted it to you, but that's not what it says. He consecrated it. He set it apart and said, I'm going to give you one more help that you probably don't deserve, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. I'm going to give you a day that if you will honor, it will profit you. Now, I'm not going to sit here and waste your time going through all the tests that they figured out that if you work 6 days and set it aside, everything you do will be better and last longer. That's known by science. It's known by mechanics. It's known by everything that's every entity that's ever studied it. The Bible even says that you work 7 and I'll make your 6 days not as profitable. You give me that Sabbath and I'll make your 6 days more profitable. You're building, Johnny. You remember we were out there on Saturday, and everybody decided you're going to work Sunday? Not me. It hasn't been profitable to give that day, has it? It's cost us to work that day. If we'd have just made our mind up and said we're going to give honor to God on the Sabbath, we'll show up on Monday, it would have been different. It'll always be different. I remember one time that I felt like I needed to get my harvest in. And so I decided I'll just work that Sunday. And I never had a day that went so good in all my life. Everything was so smooth. The day was beautiful. I produced more. I harvested more that day than any other day. It scared me so bad I'd never do it again. I would never do it again. I made a promise to God when that day was over. I will never do this again. Something is wrong. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It may sound a little double-minded, but I'm telling you, when the devil makes it go good on Sunday, you better be afraid because you know that it's not the will of God. The devil said the same thing about that fruit. Boy, that's gorgeous fruit. Don't you think you ought to test it a little bit? I believe right at that moment he made it the prettiest fruit in the entire garden. If nothing else, he sold her on it. Now let's move on. Verse 9, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all your work. Boy, does this need much touching here? I don't think I've ever realized how plain the Ten Commandments are. Labor means bring it to pass. It doesn't mean work, it means bring it to pass. Stop bringing it to pass. What's it? This isn't Bill Clinton. You know what it is. That means everything. Stop trying to bring it to pass. Stop it. Today is the day. The only thing that I'm seeking is the Lord. That's all. I can seek Him every day, but unfortunately I have to seek some other things too. But Sunday, I don't have to work. God said I didn't have to. In fact, I don't have to do any physical exertion. God said I don't have to. God said I don't have to. If you want to, we won't move the piano. I'll expect you here Monday morning. And I know you'd be there, but that's okay. Simple. Bring it to pass or toil. You're supposed to do all your work on the other 6 days. It just means your employment, your labor, your business, your industry, your occupation, your business. Sunday, every ounce of energy that you exert should be for the kingdom of God. And not a whole lot of that. Why do you say that, Stan? Because you know what? One day we're going to learn to show up here and enjoy, not work. We're going to have us a good time. I'm not going to have to work at praise. We're not going to have to work at the music. I'm not even going to have to work to preach. Amen? God's going to happen. The 10th verse. But the 7th day is the Sabbath day of the Lord. But the 7th day is the Sabbath day of the Lord. In it you shall not do any work, not you, not your son, not your daughter, not your manservant, not your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the guest that's within your gates. The stranger that's within your gates. What is it saying? You got a guest in your house? You tell him, hey, we're going to church. This is the Sabbath. Well, I know you came to help me build my fence. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it yesterday. But not today. Well, you don't do it today, you're not going to get my help. Well, I'd rather have God's help than yours anyway. So, hasta la bye-bye. I don't care about your honor. I care about God's honor. Let me tell you something. The church being easy on this one has caused some of us to work on Sunday. I told you the church leads the way in sin. The reason some of you have to go to work on Sundays is because used to, when we were ruling and reigning, they didn't work on Sunday. They kept the grocery stores closed. They kept the hardware stores closed. Everything just shut down because everybody knew you were going to church. Now some of us have to end up going to work because the church failed us. Who's the church? You and I. We didn't stand up for what was right. I'll say it to you again. If every Christian would not go to the hardware store on Sunday, they would shut it down on Sunday. They wouldn't open it anymore. We don't think we have pull. You just talk every Christian into staying home and watch us have pull. If every Christian refused to work on Sunday, there wouldn't be anybody to work. There just wouldn't be enough people. And they'd just change the schedule. They would change the schedule according to our belief. It'll still happen if we'll believe something. The 7th day is the day of the Lord. What does it mean? What does 7th mean? Number one definition, ordinal. Anybody know what that means, ordinal day? Hey, childlike definition, first position. What is an ordinance to you? It's a law. But an ordinal ordinance would be the first law. So the first law that we obey, the prime law, is This is a day that God set aside. Then it is, the second definition is, it is an ordinance. It is not a suggestion. Third definition, it is a prime day. It's not just any old day, it's a prime day. Fourth definition, it's a cardinal day. That don't mean it's a bird brain day. That means it's an authoritative day. It's a chief day. Here's a good one. It's a fundamental day. A fundamental. You know what a fundamental day to you and I is? We can't get along without it. You take a fundamental ingredient out of your cake and you don't have a cake. Here's another one for you. It's a concrete day. If it's an ordinal day unto the Lord, and the whole church is built on a cornerstone called Jesus, the foundation, this is one of those days. God's whole idea is built on this day. I don't think we can grasp that. This is not the last day of His week. This is the first day of His week. This is where the plans happen. This is where the food comes from. This is where we feed people. You okay? Okay. Not going to have no devil activity in here. Somebody sick feels bad, we'll attack it right then, okay? Here's one that you'll like. The definition is a state of prosperity day. The state of prosperity day. I'm telling you, some of you would testify to this already, that what you have learned here on the Sabbath day has helped you in many other areas, including finances. Right? It's helped us. Why? Oh, because Stan's such a great teacher. Well, you keep saying that, I like it. But it's not true. It hasn't got anything to do with the truth. The truth is, it's because God has ordained this day for you to prosper in. Mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, health. This is the day you're supposed to... Whatever happens here causes that to happen in your life. What is a stranger? Anyone in your house. Anyone outside of your house. It says don't even put your animals to work. That's your tractor. I can relate to that because I was a farmer. Now, when I was a little kid, I worked the hound out of that tractor after church. But it was playing. It did a lot of things I want to do to have fun. But I'll tell you what it didn't do. It didn't plow. It didn't plow on Sunday. That poor tractor may have wished it was plowing, but we didn't plow with it on Sunday. Exodus 20, number 11. For in six days, now here's probably the most important scripture of all. In 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that was within them and rested the seventh day. Are you more important than me? You saw that in there, didn't you? It's written right there. Are you more important than me? Is your business more important than mine? Do you think you can get more done than I can get done? Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And how much more us? Rested. The word rested means settle down. Lay, be quiet. Let me tell you something. I don't care where you go or what you do. If you learn to be quiet, you can learn to rest. And the place we began to learn is on the Sabbath day. You remember I said probably maybe even a year and a half or so ago, I said the hardest thing this church will have to do is to be quiet. And do you notice how uncomfortable people get when we're quiet here? We just don't do anything? Other than me, of course. Nobody wants to be quiet. You get in the car and you turn the radio on, you turn it up loud because you don't want to hear what God's saying. I don't mean to be rude, but if you want to hear, you've got to get quiet. And when we're home, we turn the TV on. We can't sit anywhere without the TV going. Why? We forgot to be quiet. In the middle of the night, something starts bothering us. We want to get up and take care of it. You know what the best thing we can do? Lay there quiet and begin to praise. Begin to thank the Lord for what He's done and who He is. Tell Him how much you love Him. Watch that peace come. Watch it get so quiet that you fall back to sleep. It'll work. Cease. Lay down. Be quiet. Remain. My wife is better. But you can't hardly get her to sit down. I'm so thankful that God will allow me to sit down once in a while and just sit there. Because that shows an inner work. I used to be a perfectionist and God saved me. Because a perfectionist never has peace about anything. He never has peace because he's got to do a little more work and a little more work. And if I did it once, I've got to do it again because it's got to be better. And we just do this over and over and over again. And the devil learns to torment us in perfection. He literally torments us in... We don't ever get to the place where we are pleasing in God's sight. I got news for you. I got news for everybody in here. There's nobody in here that will ever achieve perfection. Ever. No matter how much you worry, no matter how much you work, no matter how much you talk, no matter how much you study, no matter how much you pray, you still haven't done enough. Without Jesus, you will never do enough. Sometime, you and God just sit down over here and you enjoy each other's company. He don't put nothing on you. You don't put nothing on Him. Did you hear what I said? We're always seeking for a little more and a little more and a little more. I'm probably the head of the pack. But I'm telling you, sometimes it's all right to just sit here and say, God's sitting with me. And especially on the Sabbath day. Hey, God, my flesh is saying I need to go wash the car, mow the yard, dig up the flower bed, trim that tree, fix that fence, feed those dumb horses. Now, you know what my Bible says? My Bible says, if you can do that with God, you're okay. Now listen carefully. I'm not giving you permission to break the Sabbath. I'm telling you if you can enjoy God more than mucking a stall, I'd like for you to try that, then you're okay. If you can sing praises while you're scooping poop, that's okay. But if you can't, if you're digging a post hole and the post hole is on your mind instead of God, stop digging the post hole on the Sabbath day. Stop it. Stop it. And I promise you what will happen is pretty soon you'll be able to do anything and God's there anyway. And you know what happens? Here's the prosperity in the Sabbath day. When you give Him the Sabbath, He becomes attentive on all the other days. You to Him and Him to you. It gets to the point where the Sabbath is no longer a day. It's a week. This is the prosperity that's taught in the Ten Commandments. You just try me on the one day and I'll sneak up and take them all from you. Or I'll give them all to you, if you want to say it correctly. I'll give them all to you. You're going to acknowledge me and I'm going to bless you every day of the week. That's the prosperity built in the Ten Commandments. And I can set any day and nearly feel like it's the Sabbath day. But I got news for you. The Ten Commandments is not to take a seventh of you. It'll lead you into all of you. And it's the greatest place to be. You know, if we could just understand that the Sabbath day is a good day, a prosperous day, it's better than being with your best friends in the best place on the earth, then you know what will happen? It'll grow, and pretty soon He'll just consume us. And what does that mean? That means I'm on the beach, I'm scuba diving in Cozumel every day of the week. I'm having that much joy in my heart. I'm at that much rest and peace. The food tastes better. The water's warmer. The sun's brighter. Not near as many waves. The boat runs better. The hotel room is prettier. You understand what I'm saying? It becomes that way every day. Rest in it. He blessed that day. I want to kind of hit a couple of points here with you about blessed. When you look up the word bless or blessed, when God says that about you, it's the same definition as when you say it about Him. When I say, bless you, Lord, it's the same thing, exact definition as Him saying, bless you, Stan. And He does say that. With that same definition, by the way, it means act of adoration. That's not the number one definition. The number one definition is kneel to. The number one definition of bless is kneel. It's the same definition where He's speaking to you or you're speaking to Him. If you can imagine God kneeling to you, that's what bless means. Now one more thing. He blessed the Sabbath. He knelt to the Sabbath. He adores the Sabbath, it says. Abundance is in the Sabbath. Praise is in the Sabbath. He salutes the Sabbath. Now, if God does that about the Sabbath day, what should we do? If He kneels to it, what should we do? If He bows to it, what should we do? Hey, we want him to bless us? Then we got to bless Him. That means if he bends His will a little bit for our request, then we got to learn Okay? We've got to learn to bow to it. And in the Sabbath, we must learn to bow. Well, look how pretty it is outside. And that's a gorgeous day. We're sitting here on a February day with a fan blowing. What in the world are we doing in here? Why don't we have our short shorts on out there suntanning? Because our knees are bowed to God and His ordinances. And therefore, I expect Him to give me a lot more of those days at the time when I need to enjoy it. Right? One other word. He not only blessed it, but He hallowed it. Guess what? It's the same word we've already studied as holy. It means clean, holy, consecrated, set apart, purified, sanctified, and we are to proclaim that. That's one of the definitions. He has proclaimed it, therefore we are supposed to proclaim it. I'm going to do one more just because y'all don't want me to. I can hear other voices. I'm going to do one more. And this is an important one, since I happen to be the one in the Father's position at the moment. Now, do y'all know what the next one is? It is this: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now let's break it down. We'll do it quickly, and then the rest of it we'll go into the real short thou shalt nots, but we'll do that next time. Honor. This is a hard word to understand when you look it up, because it's kind of like one of those words that's sometimes in the word the word bless is the same thing as curse. Because let me tell you this. If I bless you with a word from the Lord, I have cursed something at the same time. You understand what I'm saying? When you pray to the Lord and it blesses Him, believe me, there's something else that's cursed. So it's kind of like that two-edged sword. So when it talks about the word honor, you have to kind of pick out of there what God's really trying to mean. Because the first definition of the word honor is to be heavy. And you're going, what? To be big. That's the second one. To be big. Strange. Honor. One of the definitions is to abound. To abound. To abound your father and mother. We're getting a little bit clearer picture now. To bring to. Here's the best one. Be honorable. I know it's using the same root word, but be honorable. Be noble. Prevail. Prevail? Prevail? Here's my definition for you. Do not dishonor. It's the simplest one I can come up with. I think it's the best one. Do not dishonor. Whatever you do, let it be to bring honor to the Father. If you bring honor to the Father, you're going to bring honor to your Father. If He doesn't recognize it, doesn't make any difference. You've done it anyway. Come on, all you children that are under a heavy hand, listen to me. When you bring honor to the Father, it doesn't make any difference what your earthly father thinks of you. You've done it anyway. You've brought honor to Him. He just don't know it yet. And if it takes you being the heavy, it takes you being whatever, you be there. If it takes you prevailing, so be it. Just prevail in this area. Bring honor to the Father. It's strange here because the word Father encompasses even God Himself. But the word mother only applies to the physical mother. Which ought to tell you, ought to reinforce what I just told you. The Father means chief, principal, head, founder, producer. Well, that's all the terms that belong to God. Right? Let me tell you something that Jesus never did. He never said, hey, let's go to the temple. I want to tell you about my mommy and my daddy. You never saw that in your Bible. You never saw it. He said, come, let us reason together. Let's open the Word. Everything that I do from this point forward, I want you to understand, is because God told me to. That was His emphasis. Right? Are you Christ-like? Then let's get busy with our emphasis. Bring honor to our family. Bring honor to our parents. Bring honor to our wives and our husbands by honoring the Father. By lifting Him up. By being the heavy sometimes. Do you know you bring honor to your father by being the heavy sometimes? By being big. What does that mean? That means I'm bigger than whatever else there is around me. Let me tell you something. You want to make a father, a physical or a spiritual father, proud? You be bigger than that comes against you. And I'll guarantee you God Himself will say, that's my boy. That's my boy. That's my girl. That's my daughter. Bring Him honor. By abounding. By being honorable. Now here's what He promises. Long life. That's what everybody says. Long life. Here's the first definition. Defer. Defer? What does that mean? It's appointed unto man. And then one place it says 70 and one says 120 years. Okay? It does. Two different places in the Bible. What God says is that's the pronouncement upon mankind. And I will give you more than that if you do what I ask you to do. Another bit of prosperity. It'll draw out, lengthen, and tarry. Then the Bible promises that in that time, there's nothing about you that's supposed to fall apart. It does say that. It does say that. For those of you that have just decided that you're falling apart, you decided against the will of God. You've allowed another voice to come. Come on. You're nowhere in this, the entire Bible, unless you break the commandments, unless you break His will, is there any promise of you dying prematurely? Dying broke, busted, and disgusted? Nowhere in that. Man has added that to the Word. God didn't put it in there. God said this. And we're going to close. God said this. If you'll listen to My commandments, if you'll write them on the doorpost of your heart, if you'll teach your children, if you'll think on them, if you'll do what I did to the Sabbath day, if you will make them consecrated to You, there's something special to You, then I'll make You special to Me. I'll make You special to Me. And this is what will happen. Your children will honor Me later. Come on, do you need another promise than that? That should be enough. Your children will serve Me later. While you're serving Me, I'll have people around you call you honorable. I'll have them calling you knowledgeable, wisdom, wise. And they'll be asking you, what God do you serve? Because you have such a righteous God. Your precepts and your law and your judgments are so righteous. It's what the Scripture said, right? This is what will happen if we obey the Ten Commandments. Is there anything heavy about that? Well, let's see. Here's how rough it is so far. I can't have any statues. I can't have any idols. I have to go to church on Sunday. And I've got to act like an honorable man. You knew that already. You didn't need to tell me to tell you that. I'm just reminding you. You knew that from birth. There was something in you from birth that told you about the Ten Commandments. I'm just reminding you of them. Now, what's your job? To remind you. To remind your children. To remind those people that are around you. When they're cussing the blue stick, saying, you know what, I really don't like you insulting my father. I really don't like you doing that. Hey, do you have a right? Do you have a right? Well, let me remind you of something. When it comes to the ordinances of God, your right is above anybody else's. Why? Because you've got God behind you and they don't. When you don't do what God tells you to do, let's reverse the Scripture. People call you dishonorable. They call you foolish. They call you unwise. Come on, isn't that what the Bible's really saying? Your life will get shorter. You'll suffer more at the hand of the enemy. You know what? I hope what I'm showing you today is this is not a real hard choice. There's nothing in the precepts and concepts and ordinances of God that really takes a whiz in the brain department to figure it out. What makes you a whiz in the brain department is figuring it out and obeying it. Isn't that what the promise says? If any of this doesn't make sense to you, I pray to God that He'll reveal Himself to you. If any of this sounds like law, forgive me and I'll forgive you. It's not law. It's life. If any of you don't like the Ten Commandments, then I'll challenge you. Let's throw away the Old Testament. Let's grab the New Testament. You only have to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can throw the rest of it away. And if you'll show me in there where Jesus broke any of the commandments, then it's all right for us to. But if you're going to call yourself Christ-like, Christian, then you're going to have to do what Jesus did, and you're going to have to not do what He didn't do. I don't know where we lost this, but this is how simple it is. You will talk like He did. You will walk like He did. You will look like He did. You'll get mad at the things that made Him mad, and you'll get glad at the things that made Him glad. And you won't listen to the precepts of any denomination or suggestion. And it won't take you a lot of study to figure it out, except you must read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you must say, Father, show me Show me what I need to see here. And it'll excite you. Because I promise you, when God gets through explaining your life, it's going to be a whole lot more exciting than you've ever had before. Come on, y'all can look at Johnny. You too relaxed, man. You get excited with me a little bit here, huh? Come on, man. Let's get excited about this. God has given us formulas for joy and success. And all we have to do, you know, all of you know that if you've got a job to do and you go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning and you sleep till noon and you get up and you go back to bed at 4 or you start crashing at 4, you know that you're not going to be a success. Do you know that? You know that you're not. Why do I know that? Because the Bible promises you won't be. It says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. The next thing is destruction. That's what it says. For all of you that think you need 8, 10, 12 hours a day, I'm sorry, you're going against the Word of God. You need what it takes to keep you alive, and that's all you need. The rest, we should be busy about the Father's business. I want to please God. I want to honor the Father in my walk. And I don't care. My dad used to say this. I'll embarrass him, but he always said, I don't care if a hair lips half a Congress. Now, that's kind of derogatory in certain areas, but I'm telling you, you got the point. I don't care if it upsets everybody's apple cart. I really don't care. What I'm interested in is, listen, I don't have to wait till the judgment today to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I get so sick and tired of people putting that off until after I'm dead. Let me tell you, my Father will tell me that today and tomorrow and the next day. All I have to do is, well done. If I want to hear Him say, well done, all I got to do is do well done. If He says, get up and go to church, then I'm going to get a well done after I get away from church. Not on my way. I'm going to do it. And then He's going to say, well done. Isn't that what the Bible, that passage of Scripture is teaching? After I've run the race, I will hear, well done. Well, let me tell you something. I ran the race. I'm a winner. I have accomplished, do you know something? I have accomplished one of the Ten Commandments today. In fact, I've accomplished the only one that really applies to this day. I am a success. How do I know? Because my Bible tells me so. Amen? Come on, it tells me I am. You know what? I don't care what anybody else tells me. I believe God's Word more than anything else. They can tell me I'm a nitwit. Until I hear that out of God's mouth, it ain't real.
That's right.
It's not real. He tells me, wakes me up, puts me to bed, tucks me in at night, pats me on the bottom. Isn't that what the Bible promises? He sticks closer than a brother. Well, I got news. He sticks closer than a mother and a father, too. He sticks closer than a wife. In fact, you know what He does? He sticks with me when I don't even stick with me. When I want to abandon me, He won't abandon me. That's pretty close. Amen? Come on, y'all stand with me. We've got to, I don't know, we've got to go rest, I guess. Amen?
Amen?
I want you to rest in the Word today. But I want you to enter into rest right now. And if there's anybody with contention, with problems, with situations, something they don't understand, something that's just driving them up a wall. My Bible promised me when we kneel to the Sabbath day, actually, can I say this? God kneels to us. He blesses us. Use the same word. He blesses us. If anything's heavy on your heart today, we need to pray about it. I'll never have an award for how many people kneel at my altar. I'll never get an award for that. It's not the crown, it's not the jewel in the crown that I'm looking for. I want to see your life changed. I want to see mine changed. I want to see everybody around this whole place changed. I want to see the city of Denver changed. Let me tell you something, I have a high goal. Until we are felt by this city, we have not accomplished what God wants us to do. And so we still keep trying. We run the race, right? If those little twits on the side of those hills that we watched during the Olympics, if they can get the gold medal for what little they do, what can we get for what we do? I mean, 10 years from now, somebody will pay a little bit for that, but that's all the reward they're going to get. Man, my Bible says that I have some real jewels stored up. I got a crown if I continue to run the race. That was part of the word that came this morning about the growth of this church. It's still going to be a race. If you think that that 300 more people sitting back there is going to make your life easier? It won't. It won't. Because now God's going to require of you some ministry. There's going to be some people, there are people sitting in this church right now that desperately need ministry. They're dying and they're on their way to hell. And I'll be real about that. Because somebody hasn't touched them just the right way yet. God has not, through a person, touched them just the right way yet. Our heart should be to seek God about this. God, I don't want to just show up to church on Sunday. I want to know who you want me to touch today. I want to bring you honor. I want to bring you glory. Who do I touch today? How do I say it? How do I do it? What do I do? And I promise you, He knows. Now this body wants to touch today. Anybody needs to get closer to God, now is the time. Commandments shouldn't run us away from God. It should make us very comfortable to run to. If it causes us to shirk, we're probably breaking some and we need to change something. Well, Father, we do lift up Mike and Carmen now. I thank You, Lord, that You know exactly what's going on in that marriage and in that family and in that life. And I know that it is no coincidence that we stumbled across Mike and Carmen. I know it's no coincidence that they have stumbled across our paths. I know it's no coincidence that we've already affected their life. We thank You, Lord, that You would love others so much that You would use us to affect them. I thank You that You've loved us so much that You caused a change in us where we can be usable. I thank You for Your plan. We love You, Lord. We ask You to be with Mike. If this trip he is supposed to make, then we ask a safe trip back and forth, forth and back. If he's not supposed to go, we ask You to cancel the trip. We ask You above his wishes that You have Yours. Not so that we can set him straight or You can set him straight, but so that You can bless him with the blessings that You have thought about him since the foundations of the earth and her. We love You, Lord. And I ask You in this body, as we think of those that need prayer, the Scripture comes to mind that we are to stand in Your presence saying, not my brother and not my sister, but me, O Lord. It's me that stands in Your need right now. I ask You, Lord, to teach us the concept that as we seek You, we will drag others into the kingdom. Not as though we worry about others, even though we will. But that's not the quality that You want. The quality that You want is to seek You first in all things. So be it in this body. So be it in this body in Jesus' name. Praise You, Lord. Father, for the headache, I curse it in Jesus' name. For the backache, I curse it in Jesus' name. For the joint aches, I curse them in Jesus' name. For those appendages that are not healing, I curse them in Jesus' name. I curse the root of this, which I know to be Satan and his plan. I speak healing in Jesus' name over this body. For the lack of sleep, for the lack of finances, for lack, want, and need, spirits, we curse You. These are spirits. We don't allow You to operate in our presence. We curse You and send You back to Your Father. And in its place, in all of these things, we speak Jesus. The blood, the bruises, the stripes, the personality, the character, the love, the determination, the sacrifice, and the victory. Jesus. Praise You, Lord. All hearts clear? Okay. Then what we do as a body is stand in agreement with their prayer. Because I know they prayed correctly. And I know they prayed with the heart of God and the Word of God, right? So we have nothing more to add except we agree and it is finished in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Now when I say all hearts clear, that could mean a praise report. That could mean I need prayer. That could mean somebody else needs prayer. I probably should have defined that a long time ago. When I say all hearts clear, that means you're not leaving something undone. Okay, because I'm the one that's given the charge of calling it to an end. And I always hate to do that, but I will.
Sold all this time. God doesn't. No matter what, he just does what, even what the outcome is going to be. But I know he's given us the 12th hour. It's way past the 36-72nd, and he's still working for us.
Actually, he's working for himself.
Yeah.
Always remember, God don't work for us. I know we've gotten used to saying that, but He never works for us. Everything He does is for Himself, but we get the blessings from it. I don't mean to sound like God's a selfish God, but we've got to get things righteous here. God is the CEO of the earth, and what He does is for that kingdom. And thank God, the way He's figured it out is, many corporations need to figure this out. The way you get people to work for you is to bless them. You never get people to work for you by threatening them, by stomping on them, by insulting them. You become friends with them and you bless them. That's God's plan. Amen?
Amen.
All right. There's one other thing that my heart's not clear, I'm going to say. And we will leave it lie where it lays when I get through saying it. This is the house of God. We're not going to conduct business here on Sunday. We're not going to conduct business inside of this place. Outside is okay, but not one word of business in this place, please. That is an order of God. That's not my order. I'm going to obey it. I just described it to you and explained it to you. And the final statement that I will make is this. One of the things that we learned when we wanted to be master divers, we had to take a course called Search and Rescue. Never thought about this before, but I'm going to leave it on your hearts now. It has to deal with people that you deal with. When somebody is drowning, when somebody's in trouble, you can swim to them. You can throw them lifelines. You can attempt to save them. But do not drown with them. Because now there's two dead instead of one intended. You walk up, you swim up, you do whatever you can. You even try some maneuvers that they taught us, which is catch them from behind. But if they insist on trying to take you down with them, you let them drown. Plain enough? Your stand has to be bigger than theirs. They've taken a stand to panic and drown. Your stand must be more mature than theirs. Okay? Be bold. Be in the Spirit. The Spirit of God loves people unto death. That Scripture says that, and we never look at it from all angles. We should weep for those that drown. We should weep for those that commit suicide spiritually. But we don't drown with them. Okay? Now, all hearts clear. Okay. We love you, Lord. We love you. We crown you King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we say to you that whether it's real or not yet, we will have no other gods before us. And we're going to say it until it's real. We will have no other gods before you. You are alive and real in this place. We thank you for the growth. We thank you for the spiritual growth. We thank you for the physical growth. We thank you for the financial growth. We thank you that this building, that we have a house, and that it is ours, and that we rule in the house. Somebody doesn't rule over us. We thank you, Lord. And we thank you that this house, this temple that you give us, is gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's adorned by your Spirit and by your prosperity. That we are proud to bring people. That we're not ashamed of carpet, or we're not ashamed of dirt or smell or anything. That we rule over those things that are not ruled over us. We thank you in advance. We know it's done. We know it's real. We know these people are healed. We know this body is strong. We know that our minds are straight. We know that we're ministers of the living God. We know that we're fulfilling our call. We know that you're fulfilling yours to us. With all of our hearts, we give you praise this morning. We give you our love. We give you our trust. There's none like you. Hallelujah. There's none like you, Lord. There's none like you. Hallelujah. These things are done because we've said them in agreement. We've said them in the name that takes dominion over every name. We've said them with our faith and with our mouth. And now we rest in you, knowing that we will see these things if we do not doubt. Everybody that agrees with this prayer in Jesus' name says amen. Amen.